Hello and welcome to the Living by Disney podcast. On today's show, we're going to talk about an upgraded Star Wars experience and is it worth the money? We have more adorable kid reviews for Slinky Dog Dash, and we got to tour the secret underground tunnels underneath Magic Kingdom, and you can too. We're going to tell you all about it. Let's get to it.
Welcome to the Living by Disney podcast. Your home for all things Orlando. News, reviews, and real talk. Helping make your visit to Disney World just a little more magical. Now, here's your host, Serena Lynn.
Hello and welcome. Thank you so much for joining us for the second video installment of the Living by Disney podcast.
Yay! Jazz hands.
Jazz hands. We love a good jazz hand moment. I'm so glad you guys are here. I've got Drew and Louisa with me.
Hi.
Hello, world.
So we have a three-person setup now.
Episode number two already got an upgrade.
Yes, already. We're doing big things. So if you're listening to the podcast, we thank you so much for joining us that way. But also remember that we are now on YouTube and we have upgraded that experience. We're getting a little more look into the things we're talking about.
I think it's called Razzle Dazzle.
It's a little bit of Razzle Dazzle. It is.
It's some pretty good Razzle Dazzle.
I know.
This is a full-on production. So
extra Razzle and Dazzle. Both coming into play here. So thanks for hanging out with us today. It is spring and we just wrapped up spring break here locally. For all the kiddos, did your kids have a good spring break?
They did. It was pretty quiet. We did go to Chef Mickey's.
Yes, with you. I met you guys. Yes, and we went with Tara. Who,
yes.
If you've been listening to the podcast since the early days.
Yeah, if you're an OG.
Yes.
OG LBD.
Yes. Yes, Tara used to hang with us. Her schedule changed, so she isn't doing the show regularly, but we're going to have her back just to hang.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was fun.
Yeah,
I've never been to Chef Mickey's before.
Yeah, it's cool, right? It's cool. So we're working on segments that are upcoming for overrated restaurants and underrated restaurants. We'll let you decide which one of those Chef Mickey's is going to be.
Well, I mean, if Mickey is your chef, I mean,
yeah.
I'd hope he's a good chef, but I don't know.
Let's hope.
Stay tuned.
Yes. We'll find out. But yeah, we're in spring. The weather right now is perfection. Like perfect. And we're all soaking it up because we know it's coming.
Mm-hmm.
We know it's coming. This is not our first rodeo.
Yeah, to say the least.
So we know that pretty soon it's going to be a little rough to be out there. So right now it's just like,
yeah,
be at the parks as much as possible.
I know. It was like the temperature dropped. I was like, oh, I should go to a theme park.
I know. Like every time it's really nice out and I'm not at a park, mm-hmm. I'm upset.
Yeah.
I'm like, darn it. I should be at a park right now.
Right.
What problems we have.
Yeah. Like, what am I doing with my life that I'm sitting at home? Crazy. Yeah. We, as I said, we have lots to talk about on today's show. Really, really some fun segments happening. We're going to start it off with a little trip into our listener lounge. Let's head over there. Welcome to the Listener Lounge, where we get feedback from you guys. This is where we have time to review questions, comments, feedback, and reviews from all of you. And I asked for some questions that we could do for today's podcast, and I got a couple. So I kind of find the ones that I get often. So maybe it's a question that many of you have. This one I thought was really interesting. It was from Sarah, and she asked, what are your predictions for crowds this summer? And that is a really good question. So summer's our next season coming up. We just talked about last week's show, all of the summer celebrations that are happening at Walt Disney World, and they've got some great stuff happening. We're very excited about all the new things that are coming. That being said, crowd levels are super hard to predict. So years back, pre-closure, I used to do crowd calendars, and they were very, very like historic. They kind of, you always knew historically what you were going to get at different times of the year. And since that time period, the last 4 years, we have been so off the charts with any type of historic.
The Wild West.
It really It really is. The times are unprecedented. We mm-hmm. have not had precedented times in a long time. And so it's harder to predict. And I don't like really make crowd calendars anymore because of that. However, I will say that 2024, we're on an upswing. So 2022, we started dropping in our crowd levels from the peak. Like after the reopening, we really surged and they were doing the 50th and it was all that stuff. So it really went up. 2023, we started to see a drop off. And 2024, we have picked back up. So this year is on track to be higher than last year. Now, that does not mean that you should avoid summer because summer is not typically high crowd season. So it's not peak. It hasn't been for a very long time. People are now understanding that it's hot here in Florida in the summer.
Hot True. Is not the right word to describe it. It's like, it feels like the sun is on your skin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a little brutal. Yeah. And obviously a lot of people still visit. It's when they can come, you know, and you got a vacation when you can vacation. And if that's summer, you can totally make the best of it, but it has not been like peak crowd level in a long time. So it's not typically something that you have to super worry about. However, if you're coming in summer, try to go to the second half of summer because it really drops off. So in June and early July, it's more heavier crowds. And then as July continues on and we go into August, it really drops off. So August typically for us is quite slow. And a lot of people are surprised by that. So if you're trying to plan between July and August, you definitely want to go with August. It's not going to be any hotter really than July. It's just hot as hot. At some point, I don't think it matters.
You cannot escape it.
Yeah. You're just going to be, it's going to be warm. You're going to need to plan a lot of water things. You're going to need to sort of do those afternoon.
Take some breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Go back.
See some shows. Mm-hmm.
It's just how it is. But you can totally make it work. Mm-hmm. But that's what we're looking at for this summer. I do think that some of these new things that Disney's pulling out are going to pull more locals into the parks for the mm-hmm. summer. There's new things to see and quite a good amount of them. So I think you're going to see that a lot. The next question that I thought was interesting, and I'm not going to answer it here, but I want to kind of put it out to you guys and see, is this something you guys would like me to talk about? They ask, can you do a how-to for people who want to begin a business like yours? And that's not something I've really directly talked about. I guess I did an episode that was just, I don't know, I don't even forget what the name of it was.
It was like following your dreams and passions.
Yeah. I think of it as the audacity episode.
Yes. Yes. All about having the audacity to pursue your dreams. Mm-hmm. And that very much goes into Linus more about the inspiration and taking steps towards that. But if you are interested in sort of the specifics of like really building a business based on Disney or theme parks, let me know. And we can definitely consider doing that. Maybe I can pull in some other content creators and we can sort of have a little powwow on that. So let me know if that's something you're interested in. Yes, lots of jazz. Always. Our next segment is new for you guys. So this is our first time doing it and I'm very excited about it. It is called Bippity Boppity Bougie. Welcome to Bippity Boppity Bougie. This is all about the upgrades, the extras, the things that cost a little more, the things that make your experience a little bit higher level. There is a lot of things at Disney World that you might not have even known were possible to do, and ways that you can upgrade existing experiences, but also other things that you can do that take it on a whole nother level. And that is what this segment is going to be for. We are going to be trying out a bunch of these, and this is our opportunity to review them. And we're going to start today with a big one that I think really deserves more talking about, and that is the Savvy's Workshop Build Your Own Lightsaber experience in Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Now, I think this got a lot of coverage when Galaxy's Edge opened in 2019 and it was new and everybody talked about it, but I know I haven't really talked about it a lot recently. And it's something that especially if you're a Star Wars fan, you might be really interested in determining, is it worth the money. So Louise is going to talk about it. She just did it very recently.
Yeah, I just did it for the first time and I put it off for a while. I don't know why, but now that I have seen it, I went with my sister and she built a lightsaber and I got to be her plus one and watch her build it. And it
and I love that you can do that.
It's so cool. If somebody in your party is going, you can have one guest, you can have one builder and one guest. And so you definitely want to beat out everybody else in your family and call being the plus one if you aren't building and you can see what it's all about then, or better yet, build your own lightsaber, which is what I would like to do now. So it's over in the Black Spire outpost over near Dock Ondor's. And one thing I think is really cool about it is that if you go up there immediately, so Savvy's is a scavenger yard and they deal in scrap metal. And so if you ask about lightsabers, you might be told, we don't do that here. We're a scrap metal yard until you can prove you're not with the First Order, because the resistance is a little bit underground in the Black Spire outpost. And so right away you get the feel, this experience involves a little bit of role playing, a little bit of immersion into the Star Wars universe, which is all throughout Galaxy's Edge. It's the only place in Disney World where we really have roaming characters in character that aren't like standing around for a meet and greet. You might just bump into Rey who's doing something, or bump into Chewie. And so that is really well done in Galaxy's Edge in general. And so this is an extension and probably the most immersive thing you can do at Disney World right now if you're a Star Wars fan and you want to be in a kind of role-playing immersive experience. Role-playing sounds scary to me. And before I did the Galactic Star Cruiser, I would have been like, that's not for me. Thank you. But I promise you, it's not as scary as it sounds. And it's really easy when everybody around you is buying into it. It just feels right. And
the cast members that are leading this experience, they are like, they're pros.
Yes.
They are the highest level you can find at Disney World.
They really are. This is like a sidebar after I was like, I'm going to keep this brief. But if you ask anybody in Galaxy's Edge, any cast member, what they're back, why they're on Batuu, they all have a story. Mm-hmm. So this world, this galaxy on this planet, it's just a little bit different flavor of Disney. And I love it. Even if you've never watched Star Wars before, you will sense that this world is a little bit different. So you go, and this is an experience that you can check for same day reservations, but you can make a reservation ahead of time. And that is recommended because they keep these groups small. It's like 15 people that you're building with. And so when you go check in, they're going to ask you to pick, the era. Pick your path of what kind of lightsaber you want to build. And so they have four for you to choose from. They have the Peace and Justice, which is Clone Wars, Power and Control, which is like Sith Kylo Ren, looks like grungy metal. They have Elemental Nature, which I kind of call the hippie lightsabers because they're made out of like Bantha horn and Rancor teeth and just like very nature-y. And then Protection and Defense is the High Republic era. So they're going to ask you what kind of lightsaber you want to build, and you get a pin, and that pin is yours to keep. It's like a cool little souvenir in addition to your lightsaber, but it also signifies what era you picked so that when you go into the building room, the scrappers that are helping you build and know what components to bring you. So once you do that, then everybody goes in as a group. And like I said, it's only one builder and one watcher in each group. One watcher. One observer. So the person who's going to take your picks and going to be there to support
you.
Have to stand back. They want you behind your builder at all times, they said. And also just to point out this experience, you have to be at least 5 to do it. And you have to be 14 to go without an adult. So you can't send like 2 kids in to do this.
At least one of the people needs to be 14.
Exactly.
So what you're saying is if there's a 4-year-old listening to this podcast, they're out of luck.
You just need your grown up and you can call me and I will take you. Just tell your mom and dad, I'll be your watcher.
Yeah. There you go.
So you go in and this experience, it's not very long, but it's like a ceremony filled with reverence. It's quiet. There's flickering candles inside. And if you are a Star Wars fan, there are some moments in this experience that are really going to hit home for you. Without giving spoilers, just know that they bring some classic Star Wars into the experience. And it's very gratifying as a Star Wars fan. Yeah, it really is.
You will be surprisingly moved. I've seen people cry.
Yeah, my sister cried.
It's really a moment. Disney knows what they're doing.
They really do.
And the gatherers, as they call them, are the ones that are like helping you build these. And it is, like you said, it's very ceremonial. Mm-hmm. And they're walking you through this piece by piece and talking about the history of the Jedi and the legacy of the lightsaber and how it has been the weapon of choice for Jedi for centuries. And so there's a lot of lore in it. So if you're a high level Star Wars fan, like, you're going to eat it up. It's so good.
Yeah. And like, it's such a high quality lightsaber. It yes. feels really good in your hand and vibrates and makes the sound mm-hmm. in not a cheesy way. It is a really, really cool souvenir.
Yeah.
You can display it on your wall. You can take really cool photos in Galaxy's Edge.
And it's about $250 for the experience.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
If you were to go and buy a really nice, like, Force Effects brand lightsaber that's comparable to these, they're going to run you about $200. So for another $50, you're getting to customize, you're getting to choose your kyber crystal, which is going to change the color of the saber. You're also getting a lightsaber that can be customized further. Like, you can get different kyber crystals so you can change the color of it, you know, later. But also you're getting this incredible experience. So if having like a really nice, high quality professional lightsaber is something that you've wanted to do, this is the way to do it, like, by far, don't you think?
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Yeah.
And so good. If you're coming to Disney World and you're not sure, you can kind of get a sense for what they look like if you go to Dock Ondor's, mm-hmm. which is right next door. What is Doc Ondor's like? He has a story anyway. Oh, he's a collector.
Yeah.
I think it's a really cool shop if you're like, definitely go in there. At first, I thought you weren't allowed in there for a while. Oh. Like, I thought you had to. I thought it was
for a while there was, because it was just like such high demand with like the lightsabers and everything.
Yeah. If you wanted to look at a lightsaber, there was a queue. If you just wanted to look at the other goods in the store, then you could go in. But mm-hmm. there was for a while a line. But it's super cool in there. There's a lot of cool Easter eggs from Star Wars. But anyway, you can go and see, you can buy a lightsaber there. If for some reason you couldn't get a reservation and you're devastated, you're not going to get the whole experience and you can't customize it quite as well. If you do get a Savvy's Workshop lightsaber, they also have additional add-ons that you can get at Doc Ondor's, and you can purchase separate kyber crystals if you want to add that in the future. So there's lots of opportunity there. And I will just say, as a parent, I would not let this, to me, is not for my kids who are 10 and 9. They are not responsible enough.
Yeah. If your kid's immediately going to want to have a lightsaber fight with these, this is going to be
a
source of frustration for you.
Yeah.
Like, I would say just hold off on this, because this is more of like a collector's piece. They do have other lightsaber options for kids. You can go to Tatooine Traders and get the ones that you can build that are more like the plastic kind that will...
They collapse.
Collapse in. Mm-hmm. They're smaller, easier to pack, and that's the one that they can go to town with. But if, you know, you're looking for like a more of an upgraded experience, this is it. So I don't think you could do this for kids, but you just have to know your child and know like how well they're going to take care of this piece. Also, I love that it comes in this really nice carrying case that's padded and it straps to your back. So if you're traveling home with it, you will probably have to carry it on. It's going to be big, but it does come in a nice case for you to do that.
Yeah. And you can take it on the rides. If it's even, we rode Slinky Dog Dash with our lightsaber and it mm-hmm. fits down on your feet. They're used to having that. But I still, if you want to think about when you're making your reservation, like, you can do yourself a favor and do this in the evening mm-hmm. so that you don't have to carry it around the whole rest of your day, because who wants that?
Yeah. And you can take those cool pictures with the lightsaber all lit up at night.
Yeah.
Which looks really, really good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the last thing I'll say about this too is the cool thing about the one at Tatooine Traders is if your kids want to have like that building aspect of it, mm-hmm. they did recently just bring that back. So it's not like you're just buying a lightsaber and a case and it's done. You actually have that customization aspect a little bit, and that could maybe lead them into going to Savvy's later when they're older and more responsible.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like an introductory thing.
Definitely.
And like Serena said, that's the store that is right next to Star Tours and the one that you walk out of Star Tours.
Yes, definitely. Fantastic experience all the way around. If you're a Star Wars fan, do it. It's simple as that. I think it's 100% worth it. They can be booked 60 days out in advance, just like dining reservations. If you go on Disney's website and search Enchanted Extras, that's where you'll find this listed. All right, that'll do it for our bougie experience now. And it is time for an ad break. Let's take a quick ad break from our partners and then we'll be right back. Let me just take a quick moment and tell you about our partners, Mickey Travels. They are a diamond level travel agency with Disney. They can book any Disney travel experience that you would like to do worldwide. And to get diamond level is not easy. They are at the top of their game here. And in order to get this level of experience, you're going to want to go with an agency like this. Their agents are absolutely incredible and can take great care of you, getting anything that you want booked, but also getting those prices and deals. Disney has been releasing a lot of good discounts lately, but you need to find the one that works best for you and make sure that you've got the best deal that you can. And they're going to be able to help you with that, as well as resort reservations, recommendations, dining help, and even booking these extra things like we've been talking about with the lightsaber experiences and other things like that. They can recommend all of those as well. Make sure you check them out at MickeyTravels.com or check the link in our show notes. And now back to the show. All right, welcome back. It is time for Tiny Tourist.
Yeah, I just like say how perfect this name is. Like,
I know, right?
I don't know which one of you guys came up with the name Tiny Tourist, but
it's so cute. It's so cute, right? Yes, I love it. So this is going to be part two of our Slinky Dog Dash reviews. These reviews are for kids, by kids, that are going to give you their honest and unbiased thoughts on Slinky Dog Dash.
Okay, here we go. We're going to kick it off with Logan.
Hello, my name is Logan. And I'm 10, and I want to review Slinky Dog Dash. Oh, Slinky Dog Dash is a ride. It's in Hollywood Studios. It's a really fun ride. It's like the perfect ride there because it's like fast, but not too fast, and it has drops, but not too big drops. So it's also kind of good for like little kids because my sister went on it, and she was 4 when she went on it, and she didn't get scared. The only problem is the wait times are normally really long because they don't really have that much rides in Hollywood Studios. So the ones that they do are really long wait times. The decorations and stuff are all really cool. And at the ending, they have the penguin playing the music or something. So that's my review of Slinky Dog Dash.
I love that.
Oh, that was perfect.
No, literally perfect.
Coming for your job
for
right
real.
There.
The, for real. Like, yeah. Do you want to give us a strategy and itinerary, Logan? Like, while you're at it, because
it's great.
You get
it's
all the details.
So true. It's good for all ages.
It really is.
Yeah.
It really is. And but it does get long wait times.
It does get long wait time.
One downside about sleep.
The yes. fact that we have kids now talking about Hollywood Studios needing capacity says all you need to know.
I know.
That's all I'll say on that.
For real.
All right, let's go to our next one.
I love Slinky Dog because it's in Hollywood Studios. My favorite ride, but 1-year-old cannot go on. But if you want to go on it, just make sure. And if your dad wants to go on it, but you want to go on it with your son, it's okay because the mom can stay, watch the baby. Or if you have a babysitter there,
day. Okay, that was Giovanna, and she is 5.
I love that. She's amazing.
And I want to tell you, Giovanna, the 1-year-old cannot go. The dad is going to stay in my family, and I will be going on the roller coaster. I'm not going to stay and watch the baby.
There you go.
Okay.
Is this a good opportunity to talk about rider swap, though? Like, does anyone...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, rider swap is very good. Mm-hmm. If you like have someone in your family who can go on the attraction, talk to a cast member, and then they will give you that rider swap option. So once they get off, then you can go on with your son or daughter or family member too.
Yes. So that second person doesn't have to do the queue.
Yeah.
It's really great.
It's an awesome, awesome offering. Take advantage of it.
Mm-hmm. My name is Sadie and I am 7 years old. I really like the big drop about Slinky Dog and the 3 little bumps towards the end. And it's not really scary, but I really like it. The first day I went to Disney World for Hollywood Studios, I wanted to do it again at night, and we did it at night, and I like it the best at night. And that cast member that helped my brother when he was scared to do it again, he told him that the red button flashes next to it, then it means that it's going to go a little bit slower than the last time. But yeah, and it helped him calm down, and he loved it.
Cast members are working some magic out here. That's all I can say about that, because these kids are nervous and they've got an answer.
They have an answer for them.
Yes.
I'm very curious about this. Like I said, if you're a cast member at Slinky Dog Dash, call our number. We want to talk to you. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that Sadie must be the sister of Roman, who we had on last time.
What do you think?
Who was, because she said we did it again at night.
Oh,
so
true.
I think that they might be siblings.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And yeah.
My name is Dean. I am 6 years old. I'm going to review Slinky Dog Dash. I would say maybe lots of little kids would be scared of it, but for me, I like it. My little sister, she is tall enough for us, but we think that she would not like it. She is 2 years old. I would say that older people would like it a lot. It's really, really fun because I always ride it when I go to Disney World. I always ride it.
Bean. Thank you so much for that.
So
I love
nice.
That he says older people like him.
Yes.
Will ride it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he knows. I like that your little sister, she doesn't have to do it yet.
Yeah.
She's not big enough.
Yeah.
She'll get there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see.
Hi, I'm Noah. I'm 7, and I really like Slinky Dog. I like that it's so fast, and it's really fun, and it's big hills. And I like the bumpy part and the shoot-off part. I really like it.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Just like you.
I know.
And I love, several of them talked about the bumpy parts.
I know.
We know exactly what they're talking about. We know exactly what you're talking about. And that part is super fun.
It is.
Okay. Going right along.
My name is Rylan, and I am 9. I like Slinky Dog Dash because it's a creative ride, and it's safe and fun for children. It doesn't have big drops, and a lot of little humps, and some big ones. My favorite part is the finale, where it goes 3, 2, 1, and then it takes off super fast. That's why I like Slinky Dog Dash.
Okay.
Perfect. Perfect. No notes.
Yes. That's all the review you need. For real.
I love that she's like, and it's creative and safe.
And safe.
What else do you want?
I know. Love it.
Imagineers are working their magic books.
Thank you so much again for sending those in. We've got more Tiny Tourist segments to come in the future. We're going to be doing Millennium Falcon, and we'll let you know in our Instagram stories when we're taking more reviews. And we've got our phone number in the show notes so you can call and leave us those reviews. We have loved hearing them. So thank you, parents, for letting your kids do that with us. All right. For our main segment today, we are talking about an incredible tour that Disney offers at Magic Kingdom that I think you guys are going to love hearing about. It's called the Keys to the Kingdom Tour. It is a 5-hour walking tour where you unlock secrets from behind the scenes at the most iconic theme park in the world. Keys of the Kingdom is a tour that I have been wanting to do for a long time. And the three of us just did it a couple weeks ago and we loved it. First of all, let's just talk about the basics with it. So it is a 5-hour walking tour. It is at Magic Kingdom. You reserve it ahead of time and it does get pretty popular. It's about a 60-day, just like everything, it's a 60-day in advance reservation. It's $129 to $149 per person. They do offer pass holder discounts, DVC, et cetera, that we were able to use. I think our discounts made it like $110. Something around there, a person. For a 5-hour tour, it also does include your lunch, which is really nice. Let's just start at the beginning of what it did. So do you want to kick us off at the very beginning?
Yeah, so this tour was very, very cool because I haven't done it before and getting to experience it with them too was awesome. And like Serena said, you're basically going through the history of Walt Disney World at the beginning and starting out at the front of the park, our tour guide, her name was Emily.
Yes.
Yeah, she was absolutely incredible and pointing out things that I've never even seen before, like how at the, when you're walking down Main Street, like all the windows of people important in the Walt Disney Company's history, and how Roy Disney's name is up on like the first window because it's the first thing you see when you're walking down Main Street heading towards the castle, like you would see in a movie credit, and just really, really cool, just picking up on details that I've never seen before.
Mm-hmm.
And then not only that, but also going backstage, and couldn't suggest it more.
This tour, I will say, just overall, before we get into the details of it, it is not for first timers, mm-hmm. which it cracked me up because when we were there, she was like, you know, whose first time is it here? And
yeah, we were nobody all raised at their hand,
but yeah. I was like, this is not what you do on day one of your trip to Magic Kingdom. Because first of all, it's always offered in the morning. So if you are needing to cover the park like a traditional vacation, like this is prime time where you're going to be like hitting those rides and doing things. This is definitely something like you've been to Magic Kingdom multiple times, many times, and you're looking for something that just is very different, something that you haven't done before that's going to give you details and perspective that you wouldn't be able to get otherwise. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we started in we met at Tony's Town Square. We got our little name tags. We got an earpiece so that everybody can hear what she's saying. And she walked us down Main Street and really went into the history on all of the names and the various placements of them. And like I said, we all learned something new, which we're pretty hardcore Disney fans. So like that's saying something for the level of detail that they're going in. So they did say that most tours will ride two attractions as part of this, and they don't guarantee what they are. I think it can depend on the day because, I mean, attractions go down or lines get long or whatever. But they walked us over to Jungle Cruise, and that was our first attraction that we got to ride. And when you do it in the tour, they're just like putting you right on the cruise, but you're not getting a normal Jungle Cruise experience. The Jungle Cruise skipper gives the mic over to Emily and she takes over and she starts talking about the Jungle Cruise and how it was built as an attraction and how they developed it and what Walt wanted and how they ended up with the attraction that we have today. So many details.
And the cool thing too is that we actually got to walk back into Adventureland and go on Jungle Cruise before they had even dropped the rope for the morning. So
yeah,
we got to see like the massive crowd walk in.
Yes.
That was really fun.
Yeah, we got to see rope drop from like a whole nother perspective.
It's not really funny, but like everyone's like doing this mad dash to Jungle Cruise, and then we just like walk right on and got our own like private building.
I know, like,
that's kind of cool.
It's very cool. It feels like a very VIP. Like you're definitely getting to do things that you didn't get to do.
Yeah, and like you said, at first I thought it was just like a typical Jungle Cruise ride, but having her actually like walk us through the history of the Jungle Cruise as you're on the Jungle Cruise was awesome as well. And talking about how, like you said, Walt wanted live animals and then how we got the animatronics and
yeah.
The history of it is really fun.
It's really cool. I really learned a lot.
And even if you know the history of the Jungle Cruise, you can't compare it to being told the history while you're on the attraction itself at 8 a.m. in the morning when the park's just opening and everyone's together on the tour. And it was just really, really fun.
And then after that section, they walked us over towards more into Adventureland towards Tiana's Bayou Adventure, which obviously isn't quite open yet. And right there, if you've ever seen any of the parades at Magic Kingdom, that is where the parades enter. It's the beginning of the parade route. And they come up right from that pathway and they go down into Adventureland past Country Bears and on into Liberty Square. And so you get to walk backstage right there and head into the backstage areas where all of the parade floats are stored. And that is super cool because you're getting to see some of them are inside like warehouses, but some are like just in like a covered area
shed.
it's like overhangs connected to the warehouses.
So they're just parked there and it's like, I don't know, it's like a parade float museum or something. It's very cool. And you're seeing ones like from a lot of the special parades. So there we saw Christmas ones, we saw ones from the Halloween float, the big pirate ship that they do in Bootyou is back there.
And there was one really funny thing is like, I will say it was really cool because whenever you're walking into the backstage area, it's like an elevated view. So you're kind of seeing it from above at first. And then right on that left-hand side, they had an area that they called the dugout. And this made us all laugh because there's like one seat that's higher for the performers that are on stilts.
Oh, yes.
And that was just so cool. And like, it looks like a baseball dugout. That's why they call it that.
But yeah. Yeah.
It's like a little area for them to hang out right before they cross that line and then they go into on stage.
Yeah, there's like a whole line of of seats and then one seat that's like way up here.
It looks like someone installed it in the wrong spot, yeah. But it's supposed to be there.
Yeah, because they need to sit down too. Right? Yeah. Yeah, I think that whole section is so cool. You might even get a look at Maleficent when she's off duty in her dragon form, which is really cool. And just getting to see that sort of backstage area, some of the buildings where the performers are getting ready and you know, preparing. I don't think that any of this process, to me anyway, took anything away from the magic of mm-hmm. knowing you're not seeing anything that's going to like super spoil anything for you. You're just kind of getting a little look into the preparation areas that you don't get to see before they actually go on stage for guests. And I think it's really cool to see. I mean,
yeah, if anything, it gave me more of an appreciation for the parades because like, you know, that they have all the stuff backstage and like
yeah.
backstage, but then actually seeing the floats like lined up in the specific order in the warehouse to when the parade starts, they can bring them out and everyone's in their little organizational way that they have to do it every single day.
Yeah.
Cause like we just show up like, or most people show up and just say, oh, parade, but there's so much happening behind the scenes constantly. Yeah. And that's why when you think about the name Walt Disney World, it really is a world in quite literally every sense.
Yeah.
From what you see on stage to what happens backstage. It's, if you really think about it, it's pretty fascinating.
It is. And especially that this, all of this happens every single day.
Yeah. Sometimes multiple times.
Yes. Too. Like it's not just like a performance that they do once a month or yeah. something. Like the fact that it goes off without a hitch. Every day.
And even for the things that are there for a limited time, like Bootsy U and the Mickey's mm-hmm. Very Merry Christmas Time Parade. I don't even know if that's the right name.
Once Upon a Christmas
Time Parade. Yeah, Once Upon a Christmas Time Parade. But like how those floats still have to be there and maintained and watched yeah. by someone all year yeah. long. And
it's kind of crazy.
It is crazy.
The whole tour is pretty much always going to be in the morning. So I think it was 8:30 and 9. Yeah. So those are the slots you're going to choose from. And I'm sure that's because you don't want to get into the parade time because obviously you're going to be in the way. You're literally where they're coming out. So it's always going to be in a morning tour. So you have lunch included. Ours was at Columbia Harbor House. It may be different depending on when you're doing it, but it's like a quick service lunch. So it was fine. It was nice. And after lunch, so it was kind of like a little break to just sit down and like recoup for like half an hour. And then after that, we went over to Haunted Mansion and she was telling us things about Haunted Mansion. Now, I thought I knew a lot about this attraction. I actually was like, oh, whatever you can tell me. And it like, yeah, Constance's ring. Yeah, I got it. Whatever. But no, this, I learned some things.
This was the best part to me yeah. was learning. And yeah. it just so happened, it probably varies a little bit, but our tour guide, Emily, was a Haunted Mansion stan and yes. she knew a lot about this attraction. So she told us things that I had never heard that literally changed the way I feel on the ride now.
Yeah. So tell us what some of the things were that you liked.
First off, we got to go in a little bit of a backstage area on Haunted Mansion, which was so cool. Yes. It was brief. It was a moment, but we got to go through this hallway that was still themed for the yeah. ride, but it was backstage, and that was very cool.
It is really cool.
And so she gave us all this history ahead of time. And so some things that I did not know were that the voice of Madame Leota is also the same voice of as the woman who voiced Lady Tremaine and Maleficent in the movies. And then once I heard it, I was like, how did I never realize? I've seen the whole
very iconic voice
Imagineering story. And I knew about the Imagineer who was and how they created Madame Leota, but I had no idea that that wasn't that woman's voice.
Yeah.
And then she told us about the bride. Does she have a name?
Constance.
Okay. So Constance, the bride, who I didn't even know her name, but I feel like I pay attention. I've ridden this ride a bunch of times. So yeah. when you're going through that room that is like the attic of the house and you're looking at all of her dowry, I guess, yeah. from her marriages that she has ended by killing her husband.
Yes.
And so she said, if you pay attention, as you're going through, you'll notice that there's less and less of these belongings because she kills her husband earlier and earlier in the marriage until the very last portrait. They're not even photographed together because she killed him before the reception. So you're in the attic of this house, and then you go out to what is the graveyard scene. But this is the part where the dune buggy buggy turns and you go.
You go out on a, it's like a
on
balcony.
Like a veranda, mm-hmm. a widow's walk, a balcony, something mm-hmm. on the edge of the house. So you pass Constance on your left and then you go out into this balcony and then the dune buggy turns. And so the intention is that Constance has pushed you off this balcony and then you are falling to your death. And the first thing you see when you enter the graveyard is the gravedigger, who is looking pretty horrified because he just watched you perish.
Yes.
And you are now in the graveyard. And I was floored. But
I never realized that that mm-mm. was what, I mean, I knew the backwards part, but I just thought that was just a stylistic choice to have us.
Yeah, I thought that backwards.
I would love to know if this is something that like the original Imagineers planned and yeah. it's been something that's been told down, or if this is something that's kind of like newer in there.
But it definitely makes so much sense.
It does make sense.
It does. And like she was saying, when you go on the balcony, you turn, like it turns yeah. you and you actually get a glimpse of her. And it's like this super quick glimpse of the light of her glow. And then you're falling.
Yeah.
And so it makes sense that she would come up behind you, push you over the balcony. And as you're falling, you're seeing brush and shrubs and everything until you land
in the graveyard,
outside.
That it would be your POV because you can see the trees in the house next to you.
Yeah. So. Right.
And theory, you're landing below.
It does make sense. Yeah.
And now you're in outside the house in the graveyard.
So cool.
It's so cool.
Blew my mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, now that you've heard this, it may not sound like it's cool, but when you write it
yes.
and you picture it, then it actually like puts the pieces together. And I feel like the graveyard guy
yeah.
who works there, now his response seems a lot more.
Yeah. He always looked kind of like taunt and jaundice and yeah. surprise, but yeah. I was like, he works in a graveyard. That makes sense.
He's seen some stuff.
He has seen some stuff, but yeah. the stuff he has seen has been your murder.
Yes. You just saw your death literally in front of him. So he's a little traumatized.
Yeah.
As we could all understand.
So another cool thing that I learned is that the ghost host, the voice of the ghost host, I did a little research on him, although I can't remember his name.
Paul Frees.
Yes. He was like called the man of 1,000 voices or something, and he was personal friends with Walt talented, yeah. Disney, and he also is the voice of the Pillsbury Doughboy,
which
we were cracking up.
Insane to me, and we fact checked that because I was like,
"Yeah, I did. I found the commercial.
That can't be right."
That he did. There was multiple Pillsbury Doughboy voices, yeah. but he was one of them. But he is also the voice on Pirates of the Caribbean right before you get on the drop, and it's like, dead man tell no tale. That's also Paul Frees.
Wow.
Yeah.
He is a man of 1,000 voices.
He is. Yeah.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
Super cool. Yeah. Getting to ride that and obviously going in entering the ride through a backstage area, again, super cool. But then this is the best part. So all of that was really, really neat. And that was fun. But then we got to enter the true backstage areas and into the utilidors. And if aren't familiar with this, it's sort of like, it's an urban legend. Every so often I'll run across like videos where they're like, did you know that there are underground tunnels in the
Magic
Kingdom?
Yeah, it's like one of those like top 10 Disney secrets and like yes. super clickbaity title and thumbnail.
Yes.
But it's like actual legit things.
It's true. It's true. So Magic Kingdom as a park is built on this, what would be the second floor of the piece of property, and they actually excavated all under it and built these underground tunnels for the cast members to use. And the idea was that when Walt was working in Disneyland, he didn't like the fact that you might be in Fantasyland and see somebody from Adventureland walk past, and he felt it broke the theming to have somebody have to walk through an area without being in the right costume.
And that even comes back to the name cast member, because it's all one giant performance and they're
yes.
on stage.
And so. He didn't want them to be they needed a way to enter on stage in the correct.
Just
land.
Like you would see in an actual performance.
Right. So the way they did that was they built these underground tunnels so that the cast members can enter a park in wherever they're supposed to be. And you don't see any of that happening. And there's also just a ton of like actual logistic things that make sense of, moving things from place to place,
yeah,
et cetera.
Accepting, she said, they can accept deliveries 24 hours a day. Yeah. They would normally have to wait till park close if they didn't have them.
Yeah. And so this underground tunnel system is huge and vast. It covers pretty much the entire Magic Kingdom underneath it. And so when you go under there, it's so cool because it's so large, first of all, that it, the walls are color coded.
Mm-hmm. To tell you where you are. To tell you and which we needed land that. I would have been lost down there.
It started like even from the second we were on the staircase, like we entered right by the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh. Mm-hmm. And that staircase that we walked down under to the utilidors was themed to Winnie the Pooh.
Yes.
And like every little detail, like the things that we would never see, it's still there.
There's still so much attention to detail and theming for just the cast. Mm-hmm. And I love that. It's like, it's not just safe for the guests experience. Like they're thinking about what the cast experiences as well and getting them in the mindset of what they need to be and what they're going to be doing. But I think that the color coding is so cool. And everywhere you go, it's like a little underground city. There's signs like Cinderella Castle this way, Fantasyland this way, Adventureland this way, so that you kind of know in all of these tunnels where you're going. It's huge down there.
It is massive.
There was one specific view where I kind of really like started to feel like the scale of it. And that was right after we walked through the costuming room where they were working on the costumes. And that's where you could see the tunnel that goes under Main Street USA. Yes. And that's where all the cast members were coming together from all the different lands. And there was like computers where they were clocking in. And it just, you could really see how much is going on top of what's happening on stage.
It's an underground city.
Yeah.
It is the coolest thing, you guys. I can't like recommend this enough just because just this the last hour out of this 5 hours was you were down in the utilidors and that was just it was so cool.
And like, even the cool thing for us is we just went on it and Emily was incredible. Like we could not say enough positive things about her. But like if we went back on it again and got a different tour guide, I'm sure there would be even more things that we could learn. And just being able to go into those backstage areas at all is incredible.
Yeah.
So for that reason alone, I'd want to do it again.
Yeah.
But I think just having a different tour guide and seeing what their perspective is of how this park operates every day would be awesome as well.
We saw Cinderella.
We did.
While we were there.
Or did we?
And we did. We saw Cinderella and she looked beautiful and she was waving at us and she was like heading to dinner at the castle.
Yeah, there's like a direct elevator that takes you right into the castle.
Yes.
To, Cinderella's royal table.
It was like seeing a celebrity.
Yes.
It really was. Like our whole group was like.
Yeah. There was a lady standing like two people next to me who had a Cinderella shirt on. She's like, oh, I love your shirt.
I know. It was so cool.
And
it
that was like so an cool. additional magic moment on top of just being under these tunnels at all. So.
I was totally. I mean, you're asked to keep it together and to not disturb
you gotta be
cool. the cast member. I'm not cool. And so Emily was talking and I was trying not to disturb the whole group. And I'm trying to elbow Serena. And I was like, and she's like, what? And we're looking. And then Emily was like, go ahead. Like, who is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
there's like a giant wall and she had her back turned to the wall talking to us as a group.
I know. Like, she was telling us something fascinating. But I was like, Serena.
It was
cool. It was really cool. She waved and was amazing.
We were all like,
aw. Yeah.
Yeah, it was just again, totally unique experience. I would say, you know, for older kids and up, you know, specific age will be up to you. I wouldn't do young kids. I do think that, like I said, if you've been to Disney a lot and you're just looking for like a really unique, different perspective on things, there's obviously no filming or videography in these, you know, backstage areas. They're obviously they really need to protect that. It's very strict. And so you don't know what you're going to see and your specific journey down there. And we had like other things that we saw that I won't like tell you about because I don't want to spoil any magic for anybody. But it was all just very cool. You're really getting a true appreciation for the organization and the amount of people that are making everything happen for you every day. And the costuming room was really cool too.
That was my favorite thing downstairs.
And she was like, look, we're going to walk through this costuming room. You are not going to touch anything. You're not going to speak to anybody. You are going to move silently through this room and out the other side. And then we will discuss. And everybody was like, mm-hmm. okay. So we did. And it was just
wall
gowns and
and like six seamstresses with their sewing machines doing their thing.
Yes. And it was intense. Like you could feel the level of intensity in this room.
Yeah.
And then we walked out and everybody was like, oh, Because you could just see so many amazing, very, very iconic costumes and costume pieces in there. It was just really, really cool to see. Yeah, it was amazing. I highly recommend it. Like I said, if any of those, you know, fall into any of that category, it was really cool. Oh, they also gave us a pin when we were done. You get a nice little pin that you can only get on this tour, and it looks like a little, get it like that.
It's a key.
It's a little key. It's a little Mickey key. And so that's just a really nice thing. So highly recommend this tour. I think it's really great for the price. And what a unique way to just add to your level of Disney fan.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to take you to a whole nother level.
It's like being in that Imagineering show. Yes. And getting that behind the scenes history of attractions, Imagineers that were involved, little anecdotes about Walt and Roy and the making of the parks, and getting to go backstage.
I love that they offer this.
Yeah.
I mean, they don't have to do this. Like, this is, I'm sure it's not a big money maker for them, you know, not at that price point.
And it's not just that they do it, but like, even when we were in the Utilidors, I don't want to say specifics because I want you guys to experience it, but there were little things that were in the Utilidors that were there specifically for this tour that made it that much better.
Yeah.
And I want to also highlight that, like you said, it's a 5-hour walking tour, and that is rain or shine.
Yes.
So come prepared, because on the day we were there, it was supposed to rain and it didn't. And I had an umbrella the entire time and looked like an idiot, but it's all right.
You gotta,
it worked out.
It's Florida. If you bring the umbrella, it won't rain.
Exactly. If you have an umbrella, it won't rain. And if you don't bring an umbrella, it'll probably pour on you for 3 hours.
That's the rules. We don't make them. Yeah. But yeah, it is rain or shine. So be prepared for that. You are going to be outside, obviously, most of the time, except for the time period where you're in the Utilidor. But yeah, highly recommend it. Can't say enough about it. That was just really cool. And we have a couple other tours that we are going to be reviewing for you guys shortly. We did the Wild Africa Trek, and that's going to be our next one. But if there's anything specific you would like us to review, any of these like extra type of things, let us know. Disney has so much to offer.
They really do. They have things I didn't even know existed. Yeah. And I feel like I knew a lot, but
there's a lot. There's a lot of layers to it. And the amount of people that make that magic happen for us every day, anytime you get a look, a little peek behind the curtain, or you get to talk to some of those people, that's one of the things I love most about attending media events. Like, to me, obviously getting to go on things when they're new and stuff is awesome. But the best part about media events is talking to the people who are making all of these things happen, because they all genuinely care so much about the work they're doing and the guest experience. And if you say, oh, we did this and we loved it, they're genuinely touched. And I think that they're not front facing always. So people don't get to necessarily hear that feedback from them and see how invested they are in the products that they're making and the experiences that they're creating. But there's just so many good people there. And anytime you get to take a look at that and you get to be a part of that, that is like the real magic of Disney. So I think you should do it. That's my, did I sell you on it? Yes. Absolutely. If you want to book Keys to the Kingdom for your next trip, it's 60 days out. Check out Disney's website. We'll try to remember to put a link in the show notes, but if you can't find it, you can search the tour name or search Enchanting Extras. That's Disney's web page that has like all of those extra tour.
And can Mickey listed. Travels help with this too, if you're planning
Absolutely.
A trip?
Absolutely. Yeah, they Don't can book about that Mickey for Travels. You. Yeah, they can book that for you. No problem. We can add it into your trip without you even worrying about it. Pick a good morning to do it. But yeah, highly recommend it. All right. That is going to do it for us. Thank you. Thank you for being here today on our second video episode. And we've put up obviously a few things while we've been talking about this. So if you've just been listening and you want to see a little bit more of what some of the elements we were talking about, check out the video. And thanks for joining us. Thanks for hanging out with us. And we'll be back next week. Bye-bye.